I'd like for us tonight, in the few minutes we have for the ministry, to think of what Paul had to say in Romans chapter 12. The theme, if I were to give it a theme, God's righteousness revealed in transformed living. You know, if we don't give ourselves to this matter of living this new life that we have in Christ, if we don't impress others with how serious we take it, who's going to tell them? Who will tell them? I think Mark has said this many times. He said, it doesn't cost anything to be a Christian, but it costs everything to really be a Christian. If you devote yourself to living the Christian life in the manner that God would have us to live it, it will cost you. It is costly. But when you begin to examine what has been done for us to bring us into this relationship with God, children of God, born again in the family of God, when you begin to weigh what it cost the Lord Jesus Christ an experience on a cross. And we have a lot of ministry and we have a lot of time that we spend in meditation upon how costly it was for him to be the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. So, I think we sometimes feel like we're living in an age in which maybe there's less devotion to living this new life we have in Christ. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't pass that judgment. You never know. We don't know what's in the hearts of individuals. And I believe there are many, many of God's people today that are living lives for the glory of God. And that's our focus this evening. So let's open with a word of prayer again and ask the Lord to just speak to our hearts. Our Heavenly Father, as we look in the Word of God, as we seek to find that enlightenment that comes from the heart of God to us as believers, yes, Lord, we know that a price was paid for us. The Lord Jesus Christ, He paid it all. And we feel such a sense of responsibility in responding in whatever way that you direct us to respond. Our lives are to be yielded up in a way that indicates that you paid a lot to redeem us and you realize that there will be a judgment call as to how seriously we took that cost that was paid for us. How seriously will we take living in this world in which we've been entrusted with the responsibility to going out in the highways and byways and telling other people about God's love and grace in the person of Christ. So Lord, just speak to our hearts tonight, and if we need reviving, Lord, revive us. And speak to us and grant it to be a greater sense of dedication and loyalty to the person of the Lord Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen. In the 12th chapter of Romans, we just have these two verses, and I'd like to read a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But the 12th chapter and the first verse, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, the fact that Paul wrote this epistle to the Romans, I think when we know something about the Apostle Paul, we know something about his life. God knew what he was doing when he gave him the responsibility for giving us this letter to the church at Rome. Paul knew some of the value of a changed life as a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Wasn't there a remarkable change in that man's life? When you think about him, there he was. He persecuted the church. He's a very religious man. The religion of the Jews meant everything to him. Keeping the law. Boy, there was loyalty. There was dedication. He took it very seriously. His life was devoted to making God known through this religion that he knew inside out. Historically, he knew all about it. He was a well-educated man. And he knew a whole lot about the religion of the Jews, and he knew a whole lot about what takes place when someone meets our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he had met him one day out on that Damascus road. And the Lord Jesus made a big difference in his life. And perhaps you reflect right now as you think about it and you say, yeah, and he made a big difference in my life too. My life changed. He changed me. When I touched him, things happened. When I accepted him into my life, and the Spirit of God began to work in my heart and life. What a difference took place. All of us have something we can report, perhaps, that took place as a result of this. There we were dead in trespasses and sin. Now I'm alive unto God through faith in the Lord Jesus. Been born again into the family of God. Indwelt by the Spirit of God. Baptized by the Spirit of God. Into the body of Christ, a member of that living body, the church, with Christ as its head. All these things begin to have meaning for us. We stepped out of darkness into the light. Paul knew all about that. And what the Lord Jesus Christ is the key to all of this. God loved us. And the Lord Jesus Christ cooperated with the will of God down to the very letter of everything that he was asked to do. And he simply asked of believers, by the mercies of God, to make a request. I ask you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Somebody might read that and on the surface say, well, that doesn't sound like be too hard to do. If you really appreciated what someone had done for you, he died for you, you're persuaded that he really loved you, he cared for you, and at great cost. Personal cost to himself. He brought you into this special relationship with God. And you've been blessed and you've been happy. You've been rejoicing. And you believe through faith that you possess eternal life, the forgiveness of all of your sin. Man, things begin to add up. And you begin to say, yes, yes, I'm fully aware that I need to respond and acknowledge that something has been done for me. And if God has expectations of me and what I can do for his glory, I want to do it. So we can't plead ignorance. Some people say, well, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I don't think it would be safe to say that in the presence of God. I didn't know that. Maybe we can fool each other, but God cannot be fooled. He knows exactly what's in these little hearts and minds of ours. I exhort you, by the mercies of God, yield your bodies a living sacrifice. That kind of offering to God, that kind of sacrifice that we have the opportunity to make is well-pleasing to the Lord. God is delighted when a child of God says, yes, I do realize what you've done for me. It was a costly thing that was done for me. And I do want to do what I can do. I'm not thinking of myself as being someone that has anything very special to offer. But if you say offer my body as a living sacrifice, then I'm willing to do it. That means that when I think and when I act, I've always, in the back of my mind, does God get any glory out of this? My home life. You know, there's a lot of things said about the home today. Children, rearing children, and all the things that accompany married life today, it's a big thing. And a lot of time, many programs are designed to try to help people through this. But each one of us has a responsibility. Start with where you are and in your home life as a husband, as a wife, and certainly as children. Yes, the Word of God has a very clear statement for every one of those particular classes. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Wives, be submissive to your husbands. Children, obey your parents. So you see, very simply put, there's something there we can do. But that extends far beyond just what we are at home. I kind of forgot this, and I tried to recall it. I hope I have it fairly accurate, but some years ago at a Bible conference, a brother was taking up how we handled our time. He was thinking primarily about how believers, how much of their time they devote to spiritual things. That was the idea. And he took 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the time every one of us had, and everyone has the same amount of time. And he took and added up the time. I jotted down some of those figures. I don't think I threw it away. But anyway, after you took work, sleep, time you spent eating, time with your family, and a host of other things, you had about 10 to 15 hours. He called it leisure time. Here it is. He even had church time and Sunday school and all those things worked in there. That was a part of the time that was allotted to each individual. And he asked how many people devoted any part of, say, 10 hours a week to prayer or Bible study. And there were over 300 people at that Bible conference. And he asked for a raising of hands. How many people spend 1 hour, say a week, in prayer or Bible study? A few hands went up. But you know, he made a judgment call because, for the most part, all these people that are at a Bible conference and interested in all these things, They weren't spending too much time. You become so involved in living. If you don't make time, as they say, for your Bible study and your prayer time, it won't happen. You just got to make it up in your mind, I am going to spend this time in Bible study. And sit yourself down. Or stand up if you want to. But whatever you want to do, purpose, you'll be tough on you. As tough as you are on somebody else. But I thought that was something that was impressive. How much time would each one of us spend? As I begin to think about this and what we have here, we are to present our bodies. How much of our time should our bodies be spent as a sacrifice to God? All of it! You know, some people begin to say, maybe they had a figure in mind. Oh, no. Paul is talking about a commitment of oneself, what I have, everything that I am. I'm not my own. I was purchased with a price. Therefore, I belong to God. I'm a divine possession. God wants to control my life. God wants to use me. And if I take that into account, and I'm aware that I am being used of God, in that I pray, and I spend time reading and meditating upon the Word of God. Well, it says, offering one's body is something that God is well pleased with. That means the mind, that means the total being. And it doesn't mean that I'm going to give an hour. I give devotedly my life, my all to Him. And let Him lead, guide, and direct by His Spirit. In all the choices of life. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ did the will of God perfectly? That means He never took a step out of the wrong and going the wrong direction. To do Thy will, O God, that's my will. I came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. I came into the world to do the perfect sovereign will of God. This life of mine, what I am, as the Savior of sinners, is completely dedicated to doing with it what God wants me to do with it. And you know, when that begins to get a grip upon us, and we begin to think about, indeed, if I let God have control over my life, I really don't have anything to worry about. He's directing, He's controlling, He's guiding. And where He tells me to go and what He tells me to do and what He tells me to think and what He tells me to say, it's of God. Well, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ was like. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord offered His body, and His was a sinless body, sinless soul, to meet all that divine righteousness required as payment for our sins, not His own. He did all of this for you and me to God's satisfaction. That's what can happen when one dedicates himself to doing the will of God, as we get down to the bottom line on this. Oh, what can happen as you meditate and think upon it? I never realized that so much could be achieved for the glory of God just simply by offering myself sacrificially to God. I'm not my own. You lead, You direct. I'll follow, I'll respond. How could we do less than give Him our very best? That's the line that we quote so often. After all that He's done for me, how can I do less than give Him my very best? Well, the next verse of this passage in Romans 12, it makes us aware that since we are now in Christ, we're not our own, we're purchased with a price, we've been born again, we're possessed by the Spirit of God. Hopefully He fills us. That means He's in control. I've yielded my life. I've offered myself sacrificially. And I'm yielded to His direction for my life. With all of that possibility, then Paul could say in this next verse, be not conformed to this world. You know, we're not talking about the physical world as such. We're talking about what this world really is. What's happening in this world? What people have made this world? You know, the styles that people follow, that conformity, that letting the world itself, or whatever the style or the fashion of the time is, you get in step with it. You know, there's so many things being done today in the realm of religious things. I said this, and I've heard it said so many times. You know, the devil loves religion. Religion belongs to the devil. He is the god of this world. He possesses power. If you don't put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand against the wiles of the devil, He'll take you, He'll take me, and He'll use us. So there is a warning that Paul is issuing. Paul could look around the world he was living in at that time. The world was changing. Things were happening. Rome was in control. He had launched out, and his life ambition was to tell the world about the Lord Jesus Christ. So he had seen something of the world and what was happening and where the emphasis was being placed and all of this. But I never detect that he let the world press him into its mold. You see, Paul was God's man. For me to live is Christ. That was his motto. He desired to have the mind of Christ. And we'll read a verse like that in just a moment. This man knew something about what he was recommending for believers at Rome. And you and me here tonight. This good word that we're reading can be very beneficial to us. So he's saying, our Lord Jesus Christ, indeed, what he did for us brought us into the family of God. If any man be in Christ, he becomes a new creation. He's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. You know, the Christian life, if one studied the Word of God and said, I'm going to advance, I'm going to make progress, I'm going to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ every day I live until I get home to glory, could be the most exciting thing that could happen to an individual. Really exciting to know that God's will was being carried out for us as new creatures in Christ Jesus. I can tell you this, and I repeated this a few times, it's worth repeating, there was never one thought in the mind of our Lord Jesus Christ to do anything but the will of God. You know, we're self-willed as individuals. Sometimes we hear people say, that's a self-willed person. And some of us have a tendency sometimes to be very hard, self-willed. You could say, I'm going to have my way. I'm going to do it my way. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ had one way. That was God's way. To do the will of our God. He came to do the will of His Father. He did not conform to the pattern of this world. Paul says, have a transformed mind. I wonder if you ever have the problem I have with my mind straying, going off into fantasy land, thinking about things, fantasizing about things that have happened in the past. And you've had to say, don't do that. No! I don't want to think about that. There's no value in that. That's the past. That's the past. That would take you into an area of your life in which you wanted to keep it in the past. The part of that life in which you lived not for the glory of God, but you lived for yourself and for this world. And you did lockstep with what the world and the devil asked you to do. God forbid that a child of God would just ignore what we're talking about tonight and say, yes, I am more or less dominated by the world, the flesh, and the devil. I just can't seem to get hold of it. Well, I have to say to you, you must not have tried very hard. Because I believe if you devote yourself to this, anyone that is indwelt by the Spirit of God, the power of God resident in us as new creatures in Christ Jesus, don't tell me. Don't tell me. The Lord Jesus Christ said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but you be of good courage. I've overcome this world. When He died upon that cross, notice was served at once. Victory has been won over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we have that in our Lord Jesus Christ. Believe. With a renewed spiritual focus in their lives, can and will enjoy doing the perfect will of God. Now, if you don't do that, it'll be proof to you that you don't want the will of God for your life. Because this passage closed that you may prove, you can prove that this works. It's good, it's acceptable, and it's the perfect will of God. You can prove that by acting out in your own life, living out with your body as a living sacrifice. You can prove that it's real and that the will of God can be accomplished in your life. And if it's not happening in your life, you just have to be real honest and face up to it. I'm not doing the will of God. Yes, there are believers that do not do the will of God. Don't go hide in the corner somewhere and say it don't happen. It does happen. I'm not doing the will of God. My focus is in another direction. I've had so many people tell me, well, many young people say, when I get a little older, when I've done a little living, when I've done this, when I've done that, then I'll get excited about these things like you are. That excuse won't hold up. It just won't hold up. This is for now. I said I was going to read that passage. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And it tells you, people that don't know the Lord, this is not asked of them, because none of this could be accomplished without the person of the Holy Spirit in your own life and your heart. In verse 9 of chapter 2, it says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The Spirit of God is very actively involved. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You know, the natural man, a man without the Lord, I could say, well, he doesn't know any better. He don't know what he's missing. He just doesn't know what he's missing. And you only pray that one day his darkened eyes will be opened, and he'll see and he'll know. But for believers, beloved, I say this kindly, we have no excuse. There's no excuse for us. And we just have to accept that and be very honest about it and pray. If that change needs to be taking place in my life, it'll take place. Now we've come to prayer time. Mark is not here. I didn't get to talk to Earl before the meeting, but were you going to take the prayer meeting? You weren't? Well, that means I'm going to stay right here. And,